KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Fresno State Service in Action. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and I have the honor each week to bring you really great stories about the people who make it possible for Fresno State to provide over 1 million hours of service to our community each and every year. Over 1 million hours. That takes a lot of people, students, staff, faculty members, and our wonderful community partners as well. And I'm really happy that you are here today to hear another inspirational story from a group of students and one of our faculty members. One of the programs at Fresno State that's doing some of the most impactful work, impactful for both our students and for the larger community, is the Humanics at Fresno State program. And with us today are three folks who are going to tell us about Humanics at Fresno State and about an alternative break service project that happened this last summer. So first we have Dr. Don Simmons, a faculty member here at Fresno State and someone who's deeply committed to service both in his personal and his professional lives. Don, thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
And next we have Ms. Jasmine Atkins. Jasmine is a Fresno State student and participant in the Humanics program and was involved in this last alternative break project. Welcome to the show, Jasmine.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Finally, we have a Fresno State alum who was involved in both the Humanics program while he was here, as well as was invited to attend this summer's alternative break project with the Humanics program, Mr. Daniel Gonzalez. Daniel, glad you could join us.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So, Don, maybe we can start with you. Don and I actually met, we were talking right before the show, in 1994, almost 25 years ago, or pretty close to it. I don't know where the years go by, Don.
Me either.
Yeah, it's crazy. But maybe you'd start off by not only doing a little self-introduction, but giving us a little introduction to the Humanics at Fresno State program.
Thanks, Chris. I've been here at Fresno State teaching in the Humanics program for 12 years after serving in a similar position at a couple of other institutions in California. And coming here to Fresno State was a great landing for me because I had been involved in service learning for so long. And years ago, I'd helped write some of the standards and credentials for the American Humanics program, which Fresno State was participating in. Yeah. So it seemed like full circle that I got to come and teach in something that I'd helped write to really help create. So coming then to Fresno and being able to move into a downtown neighborhood in the Lowell neighborhood, where I've been active with the Lowell Community Development Corporation and now serving on the board for Arte Americas, which is in our neighborhood, as well as serving with you on the board for MadVenture USA and our international service learning trips. But I love Fresno and I love downtown Fresno and being able to work with opportunities downtown and engage Humanics students in those opportunities as well. Humanics is about to celebrate its 20th anniversary here at Fresno State. And after being a part of the national organization for many years, we are no longer a part of that national organization. We are just Humanics at Fresno State now. But we offer the certificate in community benefit leadership. We also offer other certificate type programs within the program, one particularly in volunteer management. We contribute two courses to the certificate for volunteer administration in that program as well. And we also do a great deal of grant writing and grant research for numerous organizations, including KFSR in the past, where we did research and helped to write a proposal for KFSR. That's just a small part of what we do in Humanics. Capacity building is something else that we really pay attention to, helping organizations to build their capacity so that they can better serve our community, they can better serve their clients, and better serve for social change here in Fresno.
Yeah. Humanics is an interesting word. What does Humanics stand for?
Humanics was created in the 1940s at the University of Massachusetts and then also at Springfield College, which means service to humanity in body, mind, and spirit.
Body, mind, and spirit. It's the whole person and the whole, really, society, community being involved with bettering humanity, correct?
Right. Yeah. And we focus on that body, mind, and spirit in how we fund, how we teach, the opportunities that our students have, and even the opportunities that our alums have to remind them that they're not just serving in one area of their life, they're serving in all of the areas of their lives.
So you talk about that preparing students for leadership in community benefit organizations. That's a term I think some people aren't very familiar with. Really, what we're talking about is nonprofits, but
right.
That's the other N word that Humanics has helped teach many of us about, that really the term nonprofit is not one that describes those agencies very well. It describes what they're not. So you use the term community benefit organization, correct?
Right. We use the term community benefit organization, or the shorthand is CBO,
mm-hmm.
because we think it better describes what our field is and what the sector is. Nonprofit is the only word for a field that describes it from the negative perspective. We don't describe healthcare as non-sick care. Nonprofit is a tax status. It's not an organizational description.
Yeah.
And even the IRS uses the phrase public benefit corporation instead of nonprofit. It's granted a nonprofit tax exempt status. But community benefit organization, community says where we do our work and who the work is for. And benefit is really our marching order, that an organization should benefit the community, should benefit its neighbors, should benefit its clients. And then organization seems to be where we're standing out as Humanics, because we sometimes look at these organizations that have been pulled together with really good hearts, but not a lot of forethought about how to make it financially sustainable, how to make it structurally sustainable, how to engage more of the community. And so sometimes in those words, community benefit organization, gives you an opportunity to evaluate how well is this organization doing?
Mm-hmm.
And is it really benefiting the community or just some individuals? Is it really an organization or is it just a really pleasant collaborative of people? And there's a big difference in that. And I'm glad that here at Fresno State, we're acknowledging that 501c3 organizations are more than nonprofits, but they really should be community benefit organizations.
And the leadership of those organizations, clearly we're talking about CEOs, CFOs, directors of development or giving, volunteer coordinators, all kinds of different paid and voluntary positions in those organizations that help them thrive.
Right. It's all types of positions. And community benefit organizations aren't all nonprofit or 501c3s.
Yeah.
But we have quite a few here in Fresno in our hospitals and other healthcare organizations, because they still function as community benefit organizations. And Humanics prepares leadership not only for that sector, but we are preparing leadership for people who go into politics, who go into civic leadership in other forms, who go into companies and help influence how they invest their money and what they do, and that they're sustainable and environmentally and socially sensitive.
Right.
So we're a little bit more than just a, some would say, a nonprofit management organization.
Yeah.
Part of that's where we're housed. We're part of the Department of Sociology in the College of Social Sciences. And so we always take a social change public policy perspective, because we really believe that real change comes not just from doing service, but service with advocacy. And advocacy can only make changes as far as it also is paired with service. So those are two sides of the same coin in Humanics.
About how many students involved, Don?
We have over 300 alums right now, but currently there are about 45 students enrolled in Humanics courses.
Okay. And so there is a certificate program, there's a minor, and a student can even choose, if they decide, to do a special major, right?
Right.
And then you talked about some of these programs. Can you quickly describe Students for Giving?
Students for Giving is what we do every spring, where the students have the opportunity to identify organizations, to invite them to submit letters of intent, to then invite them to submit grant proposals. And the students do the site visits, the students do the interviews, the students review the grant proposals and make the giving decisions. Last year, we were able to give 3 grants of $5,000 each. And through the generosity right. of several of our partners, including the Whitney Foundation and the Central Valley Community Foundation, we're looking to raise the amount of grants that we give every year. But it gives students a hands-on opportunity to make their own decision about who should be receiving the grant money. And we also know that the best grant writers are people who understand grant making from the other side as well. And so if you want to be a good grant writer, maybe you should learn also how to be a grant giver
right.
and what that decision process is like.
And you mentioned the grant writing. I know that there are a couple organizations in town that really owe their birth to Humanic students and the grant writing that Humanic students have done. So a lot of grant writing. I think at one point in time, you had hundreds of thousands of dollars that Humanic students had helped raise through the grants that they wrote for these agencies, correct?
Well, we're beyond hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're now in the millions
wow.
of dollars. That our grant writing students in the grant writing course have written for organizations and have brought in significant dollars to organizations, both here on campus in organizations and in the community and even internationally.
That's an impressive impact. Millions into the millions of grant funds that have been brought into this community to serve our community through Humanic students' grant writing activities.
We're really
amazing.
Proud of that.
Yeah. And then you also talked about volunteer management and volunteer administration certificate, really helping students prepare to lead volunteers from an organizational standpoint.
Yes. So many people think of volunteer management as a hobby and something that you fall into accidentally because you were volunteering already. But this is the professional preparation to be a certified volunteer administrator. In some professions, particularly in the military and in healthcare, you have to have that certification in order to manage volunteers. And we realized that there wasn't any institution that was helping people get the certificate in volunteer administration between San Francisco and Los Angeles. We're the only university that's offering the classes for that certification in Central California. And for a while, we were the only university in California that was offering any of those courses. So we're pleased that people in the community can take these courses. They're all online, as well as enrolled Humanics students.
And lastly, there's a really significant internship that students are required to do, 300 hours, correct?
300 hours of an internship, one of the longest internships, but it gives students firsthand knowledge of what it's like to work in an organization, to see it from many sides, as well as potentially earn some income at the same time. And with the help of some scholarships in that internship, that's really helpful for students to say, do I really want this to be my lifetime career? Do I want to go into this profession?
And then we've got this alternative break project that you've just done this last summer. Can you tell us a little about that alternative break project and what was the purpose? I mean, why did Humanics get involved in that?
We had not done an alternative break project before in our 20 years. And so we had been working closely with the Whitney Foundation, which is based here in Fresno. And the Whitney Foundation, which is now sunsetting, really closing down and giving all of their assets away, made the decision years ago to give in Salt Lake City, Boise, and in the Central Valley. And as I'm on the board of the Whitney Foundation, I had made some visits to Salt Lake City and Boise to see the organizations where Whitney was investing and found that some of the most innovative and expansive and thoughtful organizations I'd ever encountered were in Boise and Salt Lake.
Mm.
I personally didn't know a whole lot about either of those towns, but once I made the visits and saw the organizations, my first thought was, I really want Humanic students to see this. I really want Humanic students to experience this and feel what it feels like to know that they have professional skills that they can use in places other than the Central Valley, that some of the things we talk about in class really are true and make sense and give some validation to what we're doing in the classroom. And so the trip was set up mostly to go and see where Whitney was also investing, because Whitney is now making a significant investment in endowing Humanics.
Mm.
And so that partnership was discussed with Ellen Bush, the executive director of the Whitney Foundation. And she said, sounds like a brilliant idea. I'll go with you.
Oh.
Which was great because she knew these organizations really well, and she was the entry point for us. She introduced us. She was also one of our van drivers, so she knew her way around Boise and Salt Lake. Boise is where she's relocated now, and drove us around, introduced us, showed us where the good food was, things to do, the great parks to go explore, the people to talk to who weren't going to be at the organizations, but were invited to dinner to come have conversations with us as well.
Always nice to have an insider. So Jasmine and Daniel, let's get you in here. I'd like to maybe both of you just do a little quick self-introduction to start. Daniel, you want to begin?
Sure. My name is Daniel Gonzalez. I'm actually an alum of Fresno State and of Humanics. I graduated back in December of 2017 with my degree in sociology. And then I also have the Humanics minor in philanthropic community-based leadership. I'm currently interning and trying to find my way through the CBO world. Mm-hmm. I mostly emphasize on policy and different social justice issues within CBOs.
Okay. And Jasmine, how about you?
Hello. I am also, I'm going to be an alum soon. I graduate as of December. I'll be walking in May.
Congratulations.
So thank you. Thank you. I'll be earning my bachelor's in sociology. I will be also earning the certificate in humanics, as well as I'll be walking away with a certificate in at-risk youth and professional development. So I'm really happy to be gaining that knowledge.
Now, let's talk about this Alternative Break Project, Jasmine. What were some of the places that your group visited, and what were some of the service opportunities that you were involved in there?
Some of the organizations that really stood out to me, at least in Boise, was Catch. It was an organization that worked primarily with the homeless population and just trying to give them as much resources and opportunities to get up on their feet. And I think one of the things that stood out about me is that they're also trying to develop housing programs for the homeless people there in that particular area. We even had an opportunity to walk the grounds, like just walk around the organization and really get an in-depth look at the lives of those who are without resources, homes, and the kind of conditions that they live in, and even, you know, some of the ugly things, the addiction and things like that, that they're facing as well. And so
that'd be a tough area to be homeless in Boise in wintertime.
Yes. And I think that's one of the things that kind of stood out for us. And when we got to walk to one of the apartment complexes that was in development that the staff at Catch were trying to hopefully get an opportunity to lease to them. But of course, there's a criteria and definitely a level of standard that individuals that would qualify for the program would have to meet. And in order to be able to gain access to those resources and an opportunity to a better life, really.
What other organizations in Boise besides Catch?
The other one I really enjoyed was the Learning Lab. That was a really awesome organization. One we got to go to the library. It was beautiful. It was all glass windows all around. We got an awesome tour. The way that they set everything up, you know, it was all about families, engaging not only those who wanted to come to the library, you know, check out books, but it was also giving parents a space to work hands-on with their children or just play with their children. And also, we got to meet a lot of the individuals that are in the program, refugees that had come to Boise and are getting the opportunity to be involved in their English language learning program. And so us as students, we got to meet with them one-on-one, sit down and have a conversation with them. And we had a little workshop that we did with them where we sat with them and they would practice their English with us. And in some cases, I got to speak with a man. He was from Dubai, and he was telling me about in his village, they had individual city states. And I was like, oh, but you don't have a capital. He's like, not really. You know, really just educating me about his life and how he got there. So
how he got to Boise. And
yes, yeah. Exactly.
So you went to one more organization, correct? The Wasmuth Center?
Yes, the Wasmuth Human Rights Center. And there we had the fantastic opportunity to see the Anne Frank Memorial there and introduced to a great staff of people that were trying to diversify Boise and introduce the citizens there into different cultures, different people, different histories of the Americas, and some of the ugly truths too, and just be honest with the population there about where we come from.
Yeah. Daniel, how about you? What about the Salt Lake sites?
In Salt Lake, I think some of the organizations that really stood out to me that we got to tour, one of them was ArtSpace. ArtSpace was this beautiful and almost massive organization that really spanned throughout Salt Lake City. What they do is that they created affordable housing for artists, but it turned into this multi-use building where there is commercial sites and affordable housing for artists. And it was really beautiful. But I think what was also great about it was that it was all revitalized century-old buildings where trains were going through and they were factories. I believe it was a macaroni factory at one point. So that was the main site that we got to visit. And then we just started traveling around Salt Lake and saw the different sites that they had. We got to go to Mod's Cafe, I believe. And it was this little cafe and a little commercial site where they had a row of different businesses. And then in the back, there was affordable housing with this massive solar panel parking structure. It was really beautiful, and it was really great just to see all of that and see the great work that they were doing. Another organization that we got to see that really stuck with me was the In Between. The In Between is actually a homeless hospice center.
homeless hospice.
Yeah, okay. So it's a homeless hospice. So basically it's for people that were homeless, and if they were sick or they were terminally ill, they had a chance to go there. And if they had nobody, then at the very least they had the staff there, and they had the volunteers, and then they had everybody else that was around them. And we got to talk to the residents there. We actually had a chance to do service there. They were moving from that specific location, and I believe that upcoming weekend they're moving to their new site. So they had donor bricks outside. So we had the chance to dig them all out and stack them all up so that they could move them and replace those basically and put them back in their new site.
Okay. So sometimes it was just manual labor that you were involved in. Other times it's the visitation kinds of things that you're talking about. And there was one more in Salt Lake that you went to as well, right?
Yeah. We got a chance to visit Holy Cross Ministries. And I think something that really stuck with me there was that we were in Salt Lake, and I'm used to Fresno and being a very diverse area. And we got there, and everyone there was speaking Spanish to me, and I was like, oh great, look at us, like like here we are. Like, okay, great, I don't speak Spanish, but I was like, great, look, here we are, like, let's try out my high school Spanish. And that was such a great organization to visit. They went ahead and presented to us their organizational assessment that they had done for their preschool programs, and specifically about the community that they were helping, which were, I believe, Hispanic immigrants that had just migrated to Salt Lake City.
So great opportunity for you to see not only the delivery of services at all of these organizations, but also how these organizations are doing these self-assessments to determine whether or not they are meeting their own mission and serving the population in the appropriate ways, correct?
Yeah, definitely. And then that goes in tune to what we do in Humanics. We do the same thing. We have a class where we do organizational assessment for CBOs in the Central Valley. So it was really great just to see that what we do in class, other organizations are doing, not only just in the Central Valley, but in other states.
As an alum, Daniel, do you think you brought things to the group that a current student or a faculty member like Dawn maybe didn't?
I'm not sure. I would say that I definitely had the entire experience of Humanics, so I kind of understood the program and what we did, whereas there were a few students who had probably taken a class or maybe two classes. So The big thing with me was just connecting things with class, and like Dr. Simmons had said, putting it out into the real world and putting it out into practice, which is something that I'm still trying to do right now in my own professional life. But I think that was the only perspective that I really had, is kind of being taken out of the student role and being put in that professional role, which we do in Humanics already. But in reality, that's who I was. I was being a professional rather than just being a student.
Mm-hmm. And that's a nice bridge, right? I mean, Jasmine, I'm curious from your standpoint, as a student, but even one getting ready to graduate very soon, you're able to relate more to the classes that you are either taking now or had just taken, correct? Can you talk about that at all?
At the time, I had just completed that spring semester, and we were rolling into this alternative break into Boise and to Utah. And definitely, I had just come fresh off the grill, so to speak. And I was really able to be like, okay, wow, that really clicks. A lot of the terminology, especially for new students, is something that's completely foreign. So if you're not integrated into classes before taking the alternative break trip, you wouldn't have too good of a background base to really understand what everything means, and you'd be asking a lot of questions or might be lost. But for me, having just been able to go through the courses and learn the terminology and work and collaborate with my fellow cohorts, I definitely felt like I was a little more prepared on that trip. But I think one of the things that stuck out most was, as a sociologist, it definitely tested your own knowledge in theorizing and analytical abilities as well.
So it wasn't just the Humanities classes that you were able to relate to. It was also your other social courses as well.
Most definitely for me, I think in the forefront, before I was ever even introduced to Humanics, I find sociology very near and dear to my heart. So I find my sociological imagination really working and analyzing the situation, not only the environment that I'm in, but also how I'm reacting to the environment, how are my fellow cohorts reacting to the environment, and are we really looking at the organizations, what kind of lens are we looking at? Is it just from our personal experience perspective, or is it from a humanics or sociological lens? Is it making us feel a type of way because of that, or is it our own personal experiences and so forth?
Powerful learning.
Yeah, definitely.
In addition to powerful service.
Yes, very much so.
So, Dawn, was there something that happened during the trip that helps you sort of encapsulate the experience that the group had?
There definitely was. Each night, there was reflection led by two of reflection leaders, and they asked questions and thought about what had happened during the day and asked the so what and now what questions. But on our last night, we were staying in student housing at the University of Utah, and they have an area with fire pits outside, beautiful red rocks surrounding us. And we were sitting out there. We had a beautiful fire, and we had just had dinner together because we all stayed together on this trip. And just serendipitously started with laughter, someone saying, "Can you sing that song?" And someone said, "Yeah, I can sing that song." And so somehow or another, students and faculty sang songs from their own traditions. And so there was a song in Spanish, and there was a song in Hmong. There is a Native American song. There is a song in Gullah. There is a song in Armenian, and songs in English as well. But the songs really captured, this is who I am, and this is what this service means to me. And it gave a little more depth to the whole idea of reflection, because it was reflection in song that said, this week has meant an awful lot to us. We had just come from serving at the in-between. And so when you've spent an afternoon with people who are in their last stages of life, it gives you a much better reflection about your own life.
Mm.
And so as we sat there that night and sang together, ate together, talked together, it really put a bow on the entire week and the whole experience to say, we can think about this deeply and we can learn from it. And we're really, really grateful for the opportunity to have that kind of space and time to do that. We could have done that in other places, but there was just something about spending a week together, living together, traveling together, eating together, that made a real difference to make that reflection even more meaningful.
Well, I tell you, when you do shows like this, the time just flies by and we are out of time. I just think what your point in your saying is, the deep learning that comes out of this is so much more nuanced than just facts and figures and policy and procedures and things like that. And that's what I think college life is all about. It's about much deeper learning than just facts and figures that are quickly forgotten. If people want to hear more or learn more about Humanics or about other upcoming alternative break sites or whatever, we will post to the @FSServiceInAction. That's @FSServiceInAction Facebook site. We'll post a link to the Humanics page. We'll post Don's email so folks can get in touch with him. I just want to thank our guests for being here today, Jasmine Atkins, Daniel Gonzalez, and Don Simmons. And as always, a special thank you to our listeners. We do this show for you, and we do want to hear from you. So please go to that Fresno State Service in Action Facebook page, share your thoughts about the show, this Alternative Break Project, Humanics, or service in general. And don't forget, tune in next Sunday at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.